Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We are coming to you live. Special time today and for the next couple weeks. Thank you for hanging with us. Can't wait to get this bad boy going. You know what? I'll just make it a short show. There's nothing to talk about today. I mean, we only got a shakeup in Boston. Excuse me. Coach K stepping down. Damian Lillard losing his mind. Suns winning. Brooklyn winning. Preview tonight's games, all that stuff coming up. The D-backs questions coming up for that, for them as well. Ton of baseball questions. On with me today, the one and only Tony Capobianco. He's going to join us in about 2-3 minutes from now. Derek Montilla, AZ Sports very own, will be joining us in about 15 minutes after the hour. Crazy long day, a lot of stuff to get into. So let's just get it going. Like I said, this is the Cave Show with PLR. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights. When you get down there, let them know that PLR sent you. Take 10% off your cigar purchase. You also can become a club member. Get your access to the members' lounge. In there, you have refrigerator, microwave, couches, TVs, everything that make you feel like home. You get a lock and it backs up to a humidor. You never, ever have to worry about your sticks going bad. If you choose not to become a member, there is no worry. Still a ton of places for you to sit, relax, enjoy. They have all the league passes. All the playoff games are being shown there. So sit back and check it out. All that happens at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Now, if you can't make it down there, no worries. Just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Get your orders in early enough. They will ship out the exact same day. Remember, all this happens at the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. And again, let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Like I said, news bombs just kept dropping today. First thing we hear is about Danny Ainge stepping down. I'm going to get into this later. A little bit more in detail as the week goes on. Then we hear Coach K is stepping down after this year. We know what happened last night. We know all this crazy stuff that's going on. We got an idiot in Atlanta who thinks he's still going to play baseball after choking a woman in front of a cop. So there's a lot of stuff happening. But I want to discuss a lot of stuff going on, especially in the world of baseball. We're going to be having him for 15 minutes every Wednesday. So why not roll it here? Look, you ever heard an oldie but a goodie? Well, we got an oldie but a goodie rocking with us right now. He's honestly been everywhere. That's how he got the name Cuban Cowboy for covering up in Wyoming. Covers the NFL, NBA, MLB, college sports. Working minor league baseball right now. Does a minor league baseball podcast. You can check it out right here at thesportscave.com. Remember, Cave is with the K. The one only Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco. Tony Capo, what's up, buddy? Long time.
I am certainly, I missed that British voice, whatever I call.
Hey, Blue come on,
Talk
Mike.
Radio. I miss it.
Come on, Mike.
Yes, I've become old. I'm 30 years old. I live in Colorado Springs in an apartment complex that has a lot of college kids because we have like three different universities. And I have started to become an old guy because I've been repeating this line of back in my day, when I wanted to get drunk, I would have real beer. Not this hard cider, not this hard seltzer, truly tea. That's all I see now. I've become an old guy now. It's crazy.
So which are you? Are you old man get off my lawn, or are you dirty old man living around a bunch of college-age people?
I am old man, be more like a man 10 years ago. Kids today, man, old man, that's kind of what I am.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because I think you were dodging the dirty old man line, because I'm starting to think the dirty old man, but that's a whole nother subject. I do want to talk.
This has come 10 years faster than I imagined.
All right, so I do want to talk to you a little bit about your boy down in Atlanta, deciding that it's a wise move. Well, you know, this just a saying. It's not like you play poker with him. But what's up with Marcelo Ozuna choking his wife in front of cops? What are the chances he plays baseball for Atlanta again? And what are the chances he plays baseball again?
Well, I imagine that they're one and the same, right? Because, like, I don't think any domestic violent incidents are premeditated unless it actually involves murder. This feels like something that just comes out of a fit of rage. So I think what's going to happen, because he's not the first one, although I think this is the first time a cop has been a witness to it. I think what might happen is he just gets suspended, and then he comes back, and because he's so good, you'll get a second chance. I think Domingo Germán and the Yankees had an issue like that. The closer for the Astros had a similar issue. I mean, maybe not to this extent, but if he comes back, he's not going to be the first player to have a domestic violence incident and not come back. Someone will give him a shot, I imagine. Or if it's as bad as the reports are and he does end up going to jail, then it's over.
What do you think suspension should be? I've often said, I think if you touch a female, as a male athlete especially, you lose half your season, you lose half your pay automatically to start. Yeah. And then based on how bad it is after that, the games can go up. But I think if you're found guilty or you're obviously witnessed by the police committing a crime, I think you should get half the season, no matter what.
At least, bare minimum.
I'm not. Okay. Yeah, half the season, bare minimum. Okay. Yeah, I think. And notice what I said. I think that's a starting point. I'm not saying you should only get that. And here's my other question. I'm going to tie this problem together here. In saying that, something you said made me think about a response. When you said premeditated. What if there are whispers about someone being that kind of dude anyway and then finally getting caught doing it? So could we consider that premeditated? If their inclination is to strike a woman and they finally got caught doing it?
Like this is something that they're just wired to do? Like, look, if she acts up, I go straight for the neck. Like that's a tactic.
Yeah,
I've seen Marcelo Ozuna play in Miami a lot of times, but I've never like talked to the guy or even when I cover the Marlins, so I don't know this person. But
yeah,
and I think the minimum is 80 games. I think that's what happened to Germán recently. But given the court of public opinion, I mean, nothing short of being beheaded in front of everybody is a suitable punishment.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not saying I'm not down for that, but whatever. On the line, Cave Show and PLR, the one only Cuban Cowboy. When was the last time you were called that?
The Cuban Cowboy?
Yeah.
The last time I was on your show, I think I should update the name. Maybe since I now live in Colorado, maybe it should be like Capolrado or something like that.
Nah, you know, Cuban Cowboy kind of stuck, man, because once you moved to Wyoming, I think that kind of did you in.
I was there for
no matter where you went. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Once you moved there, that was a wrap. That was a wrap. The name stuck. I could say Cuban Cowboy anywhere in this country, and they'll go, hey, that's Tony Capo.
Where in the world is the Cuban Cowboy?
Exactly. Guess what city he's in now? So when you look at the baseball landscape, we're hearing a lot of crap about spin rate and substances on balls and yada, yada, yada. What's your take on the analytical approach in terms of spin rate and exit velocity? Do you think that's making the game more exciting for the common fan, or the common fan is saying, like, dude, we don't give a crap about exit velocity and spin rate. We just want a game that's not going to put us to sleep.
Well, I wonder if, like, a perfected version of a sport makes that sport more fun. Like, the basketball has this issue as well, right? Because, like, everyone, like, the best shot you can take is going to be a three-point shot. Now, everyone can take a three-point shot. So, either the defense is out of the equation, or you're getting these, like, less opportunities to see dunks. So I always wondered a good way to find out if a perfected version of the game is a worse version of the game is actually go down a couple levels and watch them and see how they're playing. So, like, I've watched college baseball before in Southeast Missouri State. I've watched independent baseball in Colorado Springs before I go to the Rockies games. And I see more like balls put in play, some defensive moves, people on second, third, before they get home. I feel like that type of action and creating more drama is much more fun than say, all right, either this guy's going to strike out, like the Joey Galloization of baseball. Either this guy strikes out or hits a bomb. And when he hits a bomb, it's kind of cool, but it basically becomes soccer, essentially, right? If that's the thing.
Right.
Nothing happens except the goal scored. And if you're going to, and I hope, I don't know how you solve that issue. Maybe strike zone manipulation probably is the way to go. Maybe, like, eliminate the, like, higher thrown balls to be strikes. But the quickest way I think you can make baseball better is if you're, on, at least on TV, if you're going to do that and the only time you score a run is a home run, let's get a soccer announcer out in the broadcast booth so he can just go, go! Until he comes back to home. I think that might be the quickest way to improve baseball, but I don't know if a perfected version, because, like, pitchers are better now than ever, and hitters are just as powerful now than ever. And I don't know how great it is. Like, I love baseball. I still watch, like, go on my phone in between bats.
Yeah,
I have a camera.
No, I think it's a great game. I think what bugs me more than anything. And I'm going to give someone who drives me crazy credit for this, but the White Sox about a week ago in extra innings had a man on second. As you know, they start out the inning. Next guy walked. When that guy walked, there was a sacrifice bunt. Got both runners over, second and third. Next guy came up and singled. Now instead of a bomb getting one run in or a single getting, you know, one run in, a sacrifice punt got two runs in and ended up winning the game. I just think that type of moves is missing in baseball. And I think that's what makes it more interesting than exit velocity and all that other bull crap.
And I've talked to players about that rule. And hitters like that rule. And I think it's more exciting overall because at least you have a chance to score a run and get the game over in, like, the 10th or 11th. Pitchers hate the rule because now they're kind of coming in with, like, a man on second, and it's almost like you're pitching the quarter field. Any bad pitch you throw is going to be a run. So it's almost like depending on, like, who you ask. In the Pioneer League, which used to be a rookie level league before the baseball's new world order and changing minor league baseball, now it's independent. They instituted a knockout rule, taking out the extra innings, and now it's like your best hitter on one side, your best hitter on the other, takes four swings or something, and, like, see who hits the most home runs, and that decides the game. And it happened right here at Colorado Springs. So it was the Grand Junction Rockies and the Rocky Mountain Vibes, and the Vibes won, and that was your tiebreaker. Ended it right there. Which I think should be instituted in every sport. No more overtime. Let's have a knockout version. Like, you're a basketball fan. Could you imagine if, like, the Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers went down to an actual game of knockout rather than, like, two overtimes?
No, I would actually hate that for basketball, but that's a different story. But do me a favor. You're going to be hopping on every Wednesday, giving us 15 minutes of your very valuable time, but you also have a podcast and all that. That'll be on thesportscave.com. Tell everyone where they can check you out and quickly what your podcast is about, because I got 35 seconds before commercial.
Okay. So I have a podcast now called The Road Most Traveled, where I talk to minor league baseball players about what life is like there. And eventually I'm going to move on to gain bigger and better names to reminisce about that stuff. That you can catch on Spotify. You can also catch it on thesportscave.com. Every time I run an episode, I'm going to post it on the site.
My man, give your IG.
Tony_Capobianco.
Look forward to you next Wednesday, buddy.
All right, enjoy it. Miss you guys.
All right, buddy. Safe. Talk to you next week. Appreciate you. One, the only Tony Capo, Cuban Cowboy, 35 seconds away. We will be back with the man himself. You know him. Captain Caveman, Derek Montilla. We'll be right back with us in 30 seconds. It's the Cave Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us today. Special time for The Cave Show throughout the next couple of weeks. Thanks for making the adjustment with us. Make sure you're checking us out every day. Replay is played. KSRN. Download the app, Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Of course, you can always go to sportscave.com. Click Listen Live, 2 o'clock. There we are. We are covered on multiple affiliates. Yes, I actually said multiple. So definitely check us out. Everything starts at thesportscave.com. Remember, cave is with a K. Online right now, AZ Sports' very own, my man, my brother, my partner, the one and only, Derek Montilla. Derek, what's going on, sir?
Not a lot. How are you doing?
I'm covering playoff basketball for the first time ever.
It's the best, isn't it? Oh, it's so good.
Oh, this is incredible. Win, lose, or draw, there's actually playoff basketball in the Valley. So what else could go – I mean, what else do I need right now?
It's the most wonderful time of the year for the Valley. It's beautiful. I think that the big thing about it is there's a lot of hope. I think even in the past when the Suns had a decent team, I don't think there was this level of excitement about the team, this – particular team feels very complete. So, I mean, the sky really does feel like it's the limit. It just, once again, it feels like the only thing holding them back is that they are the Suns.
I agree. And Derek, you've known me forever and you know my affinity for basketball. And to actually finally not think, oh, great, we got the pre-draft camps. Oh, great. What 12-year-old are they going to draft this year? Am I going to ask him about basketball? I'm going to ask him about the senior prime. And when did he get his braces off? There's actually real substance to talk about.
Remember when we got to interview Marquise Chris?
Yes.
What a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is different, though. I think there's just so many things to be excited about watching this team. Obviously, there's big concerns about, you know, CP3 and what's going on with his shoulder and if he re-aggravated the injury last night. The one thing that I just saw in game four particularly was that game two and three CP3 was not CP3. But when you saw him in game four, when you saw him in game four, when you saw him running his mouth, when you saw him going at people and just being a different person, you know, there was legitimate concern there considering, you know, how lost this team kind of seemed without him. I think that the maturation of DeAndre Ayton in the playoffs has been something amazing to watch. I don't even understand it. I can't understand how somebody who, you know, has struggled at times to really just break out and be the big man that everybody saw the potential in him to be suddenly in the playoffs is wild to me. And I'm loving every minute of it.
I think it's a natural maturation, though. I know I've been on a DeAndre Ayton bandwagon since day one. And I think here's a guy now that can focus in. It's not another team the next night. It's not a travel. It's not a, I'm young, let me see what's going on in this city when I get there. All that stuff is out the window. It is, this is what's in front of me. The last thing I want is Chris Paul to put his foot further up my ass. So watch me show up. Watch me show out. And I think we're finally seeing that. But I got something I think that you'll like to hear. And I put it on as a soundbite because I think we'll be playing this over and over.
I mean, they pretty much just kicked our asses. I mean, it's nothing else really to say.
I love that soundbite. I just took that piece out. And I think we will use that when necessary. If there's ever a blowout, if there's ever anything.
Yeah. I mean, they pretty much kicked our asses. I mean, it's nothing else really to say.
I mean, we could say that about our kids when they run us ragged on a weekend or our wives when they take charge like they're known to do. There's a lot of ways that could be applicable. It's a universal meme almost, an audio meme. I'll say as a Suns fan, obviously I'm going to sound a little biased here, but the one thing that I noticed against the Lakers in the series was that they started playing down in those losses to the Lakers level. You know, I know that they didn't have CP3, but I mean, even the little cheap ticky-tack things that were going on back and forth, you know, it was happening. It was all, you know, like I don't mind what Booker has done all season, which is his ability to create and to get fouled when, you know, he's got a good defender on him and make that defender give him space, and, you know, his ability to just still score regardless of the situation. I just thought that they really got, you know, bogged down with just all of this aggressive stuff that the Lakers seemingly do on purpose to throw you off their game. The Lakers have seemed outmatched in the series from game one, so they had to resort to, if you want to call them that, veteran tactics. You know, things they know that they can do, get under the skin of a young team that hasn't been here. You know, the Suns that normally score 180 points a game were scoring, you know, 15 points a quarter, just like the Lakers were. They were doing the same thing, making the same mistakes, and it was just nice to see in Game 5 them break out and be themselves. I mean, I don't really feel like the Lakers changed what he did in the series because they were scoring 80, 90 points. It really was just the Suns being back to their old selves in Game 5.
Here on the Cave Show with PLR, the one and only AZ Sports very own, Derek Wentz. There's a couple things last night when I'm watching this game and we're seeing a whole bunch of moving parts and things happen. I'm going to go back to something LeBron said the other day. And for those people that are listening to LeBron fans, I know they're shaking their heads and, oh boy, here we go. But I'm going to pour some truth serum down this drain. The other night he said, my shoulders are built for this. You know, I'm not saying they're not. And I'm not saying he's not going to come out and have this crazy 40-point, you know, 12 assists, 18-rebound game. I'm not saying that. But I think we're seeing age catch up with him the way it catches up with everyone. I honestly think, you know, 4 years ago, and people said, oh, well, you're forgetting that 40-point game he had in the finals last, in the bubble a few months ago. Well, I went and looked back. LeBron's only scored 40 points once this season. LeBron is averaging 22 points in the playoffs. LeBron is There's a whole bunch of other guys averaging 22 points right now. So I'm not putting him on that level. I'm just saying as players get older, they can still reach a certain point. They just can't do it as often. There's not that many bullets in the chamber anymore. So
you're right.
Yeah, he can still give it to you. I don't want people to be fooled and say, wow, look what the Suns did in game five. They're going to go back and do this in game six. Don't be fooled. He has one of those games in him. I just don't believe he has that many games back-to-back with one day rest in him, especially if AD isn't playing.
I think what we're seeing is exactly what you addressed. It's age that catches up to all players. It's just one of those situations where LeBron can't, and I noticed this in all of these games, to be honest, he can't really take over like he used to. You know, he doesn't have the same accuracy from the field that he used to, where, like, there were times where you'd watch LeBron and all of a sudden he would get a little angry and then just turn it on and pour 15 points on in 5 minutes. And you kind of sat back and went, is he just taking it easy and, like, whenever he wants to, he could just go ahead and win the game and score? Because that's almost what it seemed like. At will, LeBron can take over a game and do whatever he wants. You know, he can start scoring, which then opens up the rest of his players. And then next thing you know, everybody on the an all-star because he's kicking out for wide open threes and guys are just nailing shots. Like you said, it's not to say that he doesn't have one of those left in him. It just doesn't seem like he can rear back and get that the same way he used to anymore. And I think that's the age catching up with him. That's time catching up with him, just injuries and everything. I mean, we've seen this from our greatest players. You know, we've seen these guys just get to a point where, you know, it's just not there at will like it used to be. LeBron is easily one of the greatest players of all time. And, you know, everybody can have that conversation. Anybody can judge him for the mistakes he's made or the choices he's made or attitude. None of that matters really at the end of the day when you look at LeBron and what he's still able to do at this age. You know, you talk about him now, he's still better than most of the players in the league at this age. He just doesn't have the team behind him right now in order to beat a team like the Suns. And that's my personal feeling watching this. It doesn't mean, though, that the Suns still can't get drugged down into something like they got drugged down into in games two and three and start making all of those same mistakes all over again. It's just hopefully now that they've experienced it, they kind of understand the manipulation that the Lakers did to them and can kind of overcome that. Back to Ayton in regards to that, though, I think that was the thing that I was most proud of for him was that he was able to still just be that shining beacon of light in some bad games where he was consistent. He stayed, you know, he stayed the route. And even with the players around him not being able to hit threes and things like that, Ayton was still just doing it in the paint, doing it with rebounds, just being impressive and consistently impressive throughout the series.
One thing real quick, just so I'll go ahead and take my yelling at by Laker fans real quick. If you look at LeBron James's numbers, they're skewed because it was when they were down 30 that he hit a lot of his threes. So, yeah, he scored the points. I'm not taking that away from him. But if I'm not mistaken, and again, this is not a shot, but I believe he scored 17 points in the third quarter. He scored 24 for the game. So, yeah, you know, Let me say this, though.
But there's few guys in the league that could be down 30 and they hit 2 3-pointers in a row, and everybody watching the game goes, here it goes. Here we go.
Here they come.
Right?
He's
still down by 24, and yet there was still this impending feeling of doom like the Lakers were going to come back. You know, I think that's something that's impressive about him is no lead really does seem insurmountable for somebody like LeBron James. And all it really takes is some of those guys that were missing their shots to start hitting them, and it's a different ballgame. I'll just say, though, that the Lakers just – I don't think that – I think that defensively the Suns are just killing them. They're smothering them. You know, these guys are undaunted, and they are aggressive, yet they are disciplined. They don't overplay. They just do such a good job of making sure that these shots are contested every single time. And I'm impressed with their recovery, because it wasn't there in games 2 and 3.
No, and their transition has to keep going, because I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you spend on your body. You run up and down the court, they get you in a running game, you're going to be tired, and you're going to get frustrated if guys aren't hitting shots. But Derek, I'm going to say this before I swap to baseball. I'm going to say take this with a grain of sand, because I did see number 23 throw 4 errant passes in the first quarter. And that has nothing to do with guys missing shots. That has to do with you throwing bad passes. But that's enough of me getting on LeBron, because I know I'll get all the ads, and I know the places I hang out. I'll get all the – they'll see my face, and I'll say, oh, there you go. You talked about LeBron again. So I better stop while I can still do stuff. But let's switch to baseball. Two important questions for you about the D-backs. First question, and I won't put them together. I'll put them separately. Is Torrey in trouble job-wise?
Yes, and I hate to say that. I think that Torrey is a fantastic manager, and I don't think he deserves the blame for how bad this team has been. I think that the metaphor I used prior to this was asking Torrey to go out there and make this a competitive team is like asking someone to paint a mural on the side of the wall of your building and giving them a box of 8 Crayola crayons. I'm not knocking the team. I'm not trying to discredit the talent that they have on the team. I'm just saying with the Lakers, the injuries that they've experienced this year, they have, you know, barely been able to put out there a starting lineup at times. I know that there are young players that have been given opportunities that I'm sure they didn't intend to call up this soon, but just had to based on need. And, you know, the fact that they've been in camp, they've been at Salt River Fields, they've had a chance to see a lot of these guys more than they normally do because the AAA season started late. And there's just a lot of things there that, you know, more information on the young guys that the Diamondbacks had. I think that it's hard to blame it on Torrey. You know, it's like even when the injuries there seemed minor and like guys were going to start bouncing back, next thing you know, Cole Calhoun is on a 60-day IL. Luke Weaver on the 60-day IL, Davinsky on the 60-day IL. We don't know if we'll ever see Tyler Clippard this entire season. You know, the majority of the acquisitions from the offseason all ended up getting injured and not being able to help out. So we didn't get to see a lot of Joaquin Soria or, you know, some of the other relief pitchers. It's kind of been a disastrous nightmare for the Diamondbacks. I will say that based on the contracts that they gave out and the players that they brought on, I don't really feel like they intended to be competitive. I don't feel like they intended to be a team that was going to compete with the Padres and the Dodgers. I honestly had a theory at the beginning of the season that about half of baseball kind of opted out of the season before it even started because it just didn't seem like financially they knew how stable things were going to get or how quickly things were going to return to normal like they have. I can't blame Torrey, but at the same time too, with baseball and sports, that's who it falls on, right? That's who needing a change at. I know he still hasn't received the new contract that they talked about not being an issue and something that they were going to get settled in the off season. I don't know if they think that a change might be the thing that this team needs. All I know is that one time Eduardo Escobar said he would die for Torrey, and I don't think you really get that out of a lot of players saying that about their managers.
I agree. I remember that. On this cave show with PLR, one only Derek Montilla, AZ Sports' very own. When I look at this team, and I still have that question in the pocket, but you said something that triggered this question first. I don't think the team was put together well, and I hate to see Torrey take the fall for this. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I said someone asked me if they thought he would be fired, and I said I don't see it happening because I really don't think Hayes put a great team around him offensively. I mean, he basically looked at a team that couldn't hit last year and said, running back, they'll hit this time, without really giving him anything, any new toys. So So I said, nah, he's not. But I think it's hard to recover when you're winning 1 out of 15, 2 out of 16. I think someone has to fall for that. And that's why I wanted to ask you that, because it seems like he's going to be the fall guy for a sucky roster.
I don't know how the feeling is. I don't know how the feeling is internally, and I think that, honestly, Torrey's well-liked by everybody. He's well-liked by us in the media. I can't say enough nice things about him. I'm just saying he's been, as someone that I need to cover and talk to often, he's an easygoing person to talk to and deal with. And I don't know, because I've seen his transition to being fiery and competitive in the locker room, and I've heard stories about how he is with the players, and I feel like he's a good motivator. I feel like he's a good, person that you can rely on to take care of you as a player. There's a lot of positives there without it being a lot of negatives. And I hate to once again blame it on the team, blame it on the, talent that he's been given. I just kind of put it together based on the fact that the only big contract that they've really given out is the one to Madison Bumgarner. You can argue all day about how bad that contract is, but for the most part, they haven't been making any commitments to any kind of star players now. You could even look at Marte's contract and say that was pretty team-friendly, as well as Eduardo Escobar's. And I don't know if they're going to plan on re-signing these guys, because they might want that big payday after this, next contract. The entire time, they've been aiming the timeline for this team towards it being a younger team that was going to kind of be led by Pavin Smith and this younger generation, like Christian Robinson and some of these guys that are in the minors now. They had a great farm system, and it's just kind of up in the air now with the farm systems being, not playing last year and this season not having that same kind of consistency at play yet from the teams. It's just kind of a mess, and you have injuries like the Diamondbacks have experienced all across the board for MLB. It's kind of just shows how big the, stoppage of play last year really was for these guys and their conditioning.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. I think here we go thinking small market when we are obviously not a small market. On the Cave Show with PLR, the one only Derek Montilla, I'm going to read this to you real quick. During last night games, I made a poor attempt at humor that was insensitive and wrong. I apologize to Marcus Stroman, and I've reached out directly to share those thoughts. I've had several conversations with the D-backs, and we agree that seeking sensitivity training is an important step so I can continue to learn from my mistake in order to be better in the future. That follows someone we both have talked to a ton, Mr. Bob Brindley, who said about Marcus Stroman, pretty sure that's the same do-rag that Tom Seaver used to wear when he pitched for the Mets. Now, I read his statement, I heard his statement, and I'm going to change a little bit of that around. I have had several conversations with the D-backs, and we agree that seeking sensitivity training is an important step so I continue to learn from my mistakes. That's what I read. What I heard was the D-backs told me if I didn't get my shit together and take this class and make an apology, my ass will be fired. Your thoughts on what happened? Your thoughts on his comments?
I think you kind of summed it up nicely. It's a dumb, I'm going to say it. It's a dumb old white dude comment. That's what it is to me. And it's the kind of comment that I wouldn't be surprised if anybody's father or grandfather making. I'm not overly offended to it about it, but I'm also will be one of the first to tell you, yeah, it's racist. Yes, it's not something that you should be saying. That's absolutely a bad comment to be making. I think that at times baseball announcers, they kind of have to come up with dumb jokes and say things, and it's just one of those things where Brindley is an older guy that doesn't realize how something like that could be perceived. I have said myself several dumb things at times that I never realized how dumb they sounded until I was editing my own podcast. And I'm listening to it back and I'm like, yikes, that's deleted out of there. Right. And it's not even like there was any kind of intention to say anything you know, offensive. It's just a matter of how it could be perceived by someone listening. You know, it's again, it's just a dumb joke. It wasn't even funny, you know, and it's definitely, I know that there's a lot of people that don't think that they have a problem with it, but you know, it's one of those kind of dog whistle racist jokes, you know, it's just kind of a, like a, a chuckle at a different culture, a different person for wearing, you know, a do-rag. I don't know, man. I'm not surprised. And I think that the Diamondbacks have a hard time with building a younger audience. I think someone like Bob Renly is a big reason why. If that's the voice of your, you know, of your team, then that's a really outdated voice, and young people have a hard time, you know, not only relating to something like that, but listening to somebody who's going to make jokes like this and wanting to, you know, watch your game again.
Here's the thing. I'm not a cancel culture guy. I'm really not. And I don't even think dude should be fired for it. I do think he should go to some type of training. And Derek, what I'm finding out more and more, and I listen to Danny Ainge say he's never heard anyone mention any type of racism in Boston, which means he's either the dumbest person on earth or he just has his head in the ground. And obviously he stepped down today or they stepped him down or whatever. But here's what I'm thinking more and more as I speak to more and more people and as I'm in more and more environments. I think I'm reaffirming this. I truly don't believe a lot of the racist crap people say is coming from a bad place in that they are intentionally saying, I'm going to say this racist crap. I think what happens is they are comfortable in the audience that they've been around for almost all their lives, and the stuff they say to them, to the, each other, seems normal. And I think their problem is they haven't challenged themselves to be uncomfortable, to deal with people that don't come from where they came from, don't look like the way they look, and their friends don't do the same things they do. And I think because of that, things that sound normal between them doesn't sound normal to the people that they're attending it, that they're targeting the joke for. So I don't want to just put everyone on this same, oh my God, that dude is an obvious racist, because I think that's unfair. I just think people don't want to make themselves uncomfortable enough to understand the statements that they're making to other and about other people, because they've never hung around with them. They've never even sat down with them. You know, we once worked together in a different environment, and let's be totally honest. How many black managers were there? So or minority managers were there. So it's real easy for upper management to say a lot of things when they never had to really be around anybody of color, women, or anything. So that was never in their conversation. So I think a lot of that has to do with no one really wants to be uncomfortable enough to get comfortable.
I think this is definitely ignorance versus racism. And people could say, and I understand where people are coming from when they say it's racist. I just think that sometimes the usage of the word racist just implies hateful intent and, you know, some like intention to disparage, you know, another race. Whereas this just felt like Brenly had no clue that this would be perceived as it was. I think he was just making a joke about like almost more of like young people rather than it being a comment about, you know, a black man wearing a do-rag, but it's still just a dumb thing to say, you know, and you can't really know where to judge somebody who's going to be a live sports announcer based on their inability to understand when something is appropriate and when it's not. You know, I think that's the issue. And I'm not 100% for firing him over this. And I'm not, like you said, mistakes are made. I think that people are going to take it the way they are, but I don't think that, you know, that's necessarily the answer. I just think that in general, you know, there's this need to grow baseball as a sport. And there's just a lot of things that baseball itself does to be counterproductive to that.
Yes.
I think baseball is a boring sport to listen to. And I think you do need people that can, you know, liven it up. And I definitely think that, you know, a change wouldn't be the worst thing, or at least mean, you know, bringing in other people, bringing in different talents. I also think that, you know, you're probably going to make mistakes like this again because of that judgment, that inability to judge when things are appropriate and inappropriate.
Yeah, bro, and I honestly believe, I truly believe, I just hate that phrase, cancel culture, because we hear, you know, certain people accuse everybody of it, but they do the same, canceling themselves. So I think more can be learned from this, because honestly, Derek, think about it. Around friends, if there were tape on us, everyone in this world would be fired. Because there's not a person walking this earth that hasn't said something that could justify being terminated. I just think that when things are said publicly, you learn more from teaching and conversing than you do from just outright excommunicating someone. Now, in saying that, I think there are some real dumb crap people say that is intentional. And if it's intentional, they need to be let go. But stuff like this, man, pull Brindley aside, send him to a class, do what you need to. And you know what? Hopefully he learns something. Now, if he says it again, that's a whole different subject. But
yeah,
I just
well, let me give you an example. There was a situation, because you know I'm a pro wrestling guy, with AEW. And their Spanish announcer actually had a moment where they were off air and mics weren't supposed to be on. They were. And he was caught basically mocking and making a, you know, really racist Chinese accent about one of the performers who, you know, one of the performers who's Asian. And it was, you know, it was one of those on mic situations that he was terminated. You know, he was terminated immediately. And it was one of those situations where it felt like the action was fireable. It felt like it was racist. It felt like it was hateful and completely unnecessary, whether they were on air or off air. You know, so that's one of those situations where it was a little more clear cut.
Yep. Now, there's something, I remember saying it to you way back when we first got in this game, the mic is always hot. I don't give a crap. It's always hot. I can tell you it's turned off. You can see the red button. It could say off. It could say disconnected. The phone could ring busy. Damn it, that mic is still hot. Someone has something.
I'll talk to you in the parking lot. I will talk to you in the parking lot. And we'll have one of those conversations that we could get fired over, you know? Like, that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yep,
it's
always
it's wild. And I hate to say it, because I really, again, I've spent time around Brindley. He's a great human being, and it's unfortunate when you see people that you're around regularly like this get, you know, caught up in something, because you know, deep down inside, you've seen how kind this person is to everybody. It sucks for him. And I really hope that they do just kind of pursue this as a learning opportunity, and hopefully he can change and he can learn something from this.
Last question I'm going to ask you and let you get out on this. How the hell does Joel Embiid fall on his ass and hurt his knee? Could you explain that to me?
I can't, other than he's a gigantic human being, and much like Anthony Davis pulling his groin on what seemed like, you know, a fall on the side or whatever happened to him, it's just a big guy thing. You know, I think that's the biggest concern with Davis. It's the biggest concern with Embiid, as athletic and dominating as these guys can be. Due to their size, they're very susceptible to injuries. I don't really know. All you can wonder is, you know, sometimes what was already there, you know, what was, you know what I mean? Like there could have been just some sort of situation in his knee where it was just ready to go, and kind of any kind of traumatic fall or anything could cause it to happen. I don't have an explanation, but I just know that whenever it almost seems like whenever you see an injury like this, it's one of the big guys, one of those ones that you can't explain, you know, they fell on their back and now their, you know, Achilles is torn.
Yeah. I'm looking at this and I'm like, you know what? I get the big guy fall. I get the try to avoid. I get all that. And I even get Anthony Davis because you know what? That's a muscle. So as you're going up and you're coming down awkward. But he fell on his ass. So I'm supposed to believe when he fell on his ass, the vibration carried all the way down past his thigh, past his hips, all the way down to his knee and hurt his knee. That's the vibration.
Let me ask you this. When was the last time you fell?
Oh, dude, it was embarrassing as hell. I was coming out of fries in the rain, and it wasn't raining when I – listen, there's no lie. It wasn't raining when I went in, and I had on a pair of flip-flops. And I came out, and I was like, oh, it's raining. I better be careful. And as soon as I said, I better be careful, I slipped, a step, slipped, fell, protected the groceries, though. They didn't even get out of the bag, didn't even get wet, fell on my right side. My whole right side for 2 days hurt. Now, if I fell on some concrete on my side hurt because I fell on concrete on my side. I didn't tear the meniscus in my left knee.
I bet you also got an ear infection and a cavity.
Nothing. There was no vibration down to my knee. So this man fell on his ass.
You're a little bit lower to the ground than he is. That's all. That's what it is. I don't know. Like I said, you just don't know. I mean, you don't know, and I don't think it's a fake injury. I just think it's an unfortunate injury, right? I mean, this is one of those situations where it kind of felt like Philadelphia was really rolling here.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying he's fake. That's not even it. I'm just trying to medically, and this is why I'm not a doctor, to do some my head.
Right.
How you fall on your ass? Until you need.
I didn't know I was going to be asked medical questions today because I can't explain it either. But I could say that, like I said, they're big guys. Their bodies are fragile for some reason, you know, and it's just it's unfortunate. Like I really. I don't want to see anybody impacted by injury when we get to this point, you know, because then the everything changes, you know, the whole like course of history is changed by that. You know, I think it sucks. Chris Paul getting hurt seemed just like the most devastating thing ever. You know, he was really that key for this team that seemed to get them to the next level. And you know, the Suns need him. The Suns need him. If they're going to make this run, they're going to absolutely need Chris Paul to be as healthy as possible.
True, but I'm going to say this. I just caught you in a lie because you said you hate to see anyone get hurt. But you don't mind Anthony Davis being hurt a little bit and missing games.
I mean, okay, caveat being anybody that the Suns are playing, but that's different.
Okay.
That's a petty fan thing. I just don't want excuses when the Suns make their championship run and people want to put an asterisk next to them because everybody got hurt along the way. It's our fault.
Well, you know that's going to happen because you know how Laker fans are. We would have won, but LeBron had – we would have won, but AD, and then Schroeder didn't hit, and then Drummond wasn't what we thought, and then Kuzma just sucks, and Dudley takes up some space on the route. You know how that's happening. So let's just let them – let's just let them have that. Yo, bro, tell everyone where they can check you out at.
You can get me on ArizonaSports.com. That's where you'll find all my articles about the Diamondbacks. We also have a podcast called the Ain't No Fang Podcast. We talk about Diamondbacks and a little bit of baseball news. And then, you can get me on Twitter at @Cap_Caveman. I'm always there, day or night.
And he's a great follow. By the way, I think you should do your own designer shirts. I think, like, you should get a brand. It should be, like, the DM brand, and you should have your own shirt. Because when you take pictures of those shirts, they should be your shirts, no one else's.
Wow. Well, yeah, I like it. I like it. Get me connected with, like, a fabric person and, like, a designing firm and get me, some sort of funding for that and website design. And I'm going to need some sort of person to work in packaging and ship out those shirts, and Oh, like a whole staff. Give me a whole staff, and then we'll do this.
If I do that, I don't really need you to model the shirts, then I just do my own company, do shirts. But that's we'll work those details out.
Fair enough.
I guess we'll work those details out later. Yo, bro, much love to the family. Tell them I said hello.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And tell your son to stop calling my house, please.
he's getting tall, too. And, hey, he's turned into a little athlete. So, I don't know what to say. So we'll see how that happens.
All right. What you say is stop calling his house. That's simple.
I'll talk to you later. I'll see what I can do. All right, my brother. Appreciate you. The one, the only, Derek Montilla. Always incredible to catch up with him. Listen, I blew through breaks like there was no tomorrow. There's still so much. I'm going to save sound bites for tomorrow's show. I'll tell you who's the guest, who's coming on, what we've got lined up for you tomorrow. You know it's Thursday, so you know it's Cigars with the Cave. So we'll do all that. Let's step away for 30 seconds. We'll be right back.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikel Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us today. Special time. Don't forget, we're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Special time the rest of this week, next week, and the week after that. Make sure you are definitely checking us out. You can follow us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and the Facebook. Cave is with the K. SportsCave.com. Cave is with the K. And I am directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. A couple big things that I definitely want to announce. Coach K is stepping down after this year. I love the fact that he announced it. We have a year to get him his flowers. You all know I am not a Duke fan by any imagination, but you are nuts if you don't respect what this man has done, not just for Duke, but the stage he's helped put and keep college basketball on. It's a man that changed with the times. If you look at the way his teams were in the 80s and the 90s versus the way his teams are now, you have to give this man his flowers. Danny Ainge will be out as president of basketball operations. He's going to be replaced by a head coach who's going to step in. Boston will start looking for a coach immediately. Tomorrow, as you know, Cigars with the Cave Show will be live at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco starting at 2 o'clock. Make sure you check us out there. Tomorrow's guests, schedule Ed Cole and Eileen Carrasco. So make sure you are definitely peeping us out. You can get us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Cave is with the K. Get us at sportscave.com. Cave is with a K. And you can get me directly at PLR on Sports. Thanks for the call-ins, Tony Capobianco, Cuban Cowboy, and AZ Sports' very own Derek Montilla. Thank you for hanging with us today. Everyone, be safe, be kind to each other, think about it, what you're doing, what you're saying, and like I said, make yourself uncomfortable to get comfortable. It makes everyone a better person and helps you get along better with each other, all of us. Until tomorrow, it's Cave Show with PLR. Cigars with the Cave Show tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Everyone be safe. Have a great day. Tips. Bring us home.